ultimate game, the final of the 21st Football World Cup.
Let's not forget that the World Cup isn't just about football matches. Let's not forget that football isn't just a sport. Millions of fans from scores of nationalities is an opportunity to think about this one question. What is football? This is called football. Watch it carefully.
The limelight.
When the term de-dollarization was coined, there was a concrete idea behind it, that the U.S. currency would be uncrowned someday. And when we talk about the U.S. decline, we cannot avoid talking about de-dollarization and the end of dollar hegemony in the world. Believe it or not, the world is going to be multipolar as world economies are exhausted by the U.S. military and financial bullying. So efforts are underway to topple the dollar. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote in this regard, Brazil and Argentina are reportedly set to start work on creating a currency union that would eventually involve other nations on the continent. Brazil and Argentina plan to create a common currency, the Financial Times has reported recently, citing officials. The plan will be discussed and officially announced at a summit in Buenos Aires, according to the report. Argentina's economy minister Sergio Massa told the news outlet there will be a decision to start studying the parameters needed for a common currency, which includes everything from fiscal issues to the size of the economy and the role of central banks. According to Massa, other Latin American nations will be invited to join the common currency project. Brazil is proposing calling the new currency SOR, which translates as South. Massa noted the creation of the SOR is likely to take years, pointing to the fact that it took Europe 35 years to create the euro. It would be a study of mechanisms for trade integration. I don't want to create any false expectations. It's the first step on a long road which Latin America must travel, he said. Other officials who spoke to the news outlet said the new currency is expected to boost regional trade and help cut the country's reliance on the U.S. dollar. Brazil and Argentina have discussed the idea of a common currency for several years, but Brazil's central bank previously blocked efforts to get such an initiative off the ground, sources told the Financial Times. The two countries boast the largest economies in South America. Brazil is a member of the BRICS group and has enjoyed relative economic stability in recent years, although analysts point to a number of headwinds that could dampen growth this year. Argentina, meanwhile, has been plagued by economic instability for decades. The country has defaulted on its debt several times, most recently in 2020, and has had to resort to capital controls to protect its currency. Inflation in the country is currently soaring, and it has a roughly $40 billion debt to the IMF. Meanwhile, modern diplomacy had an eye on this issue, the de-dollarization, writing the West's primary point of concern should be Russia and China's recent commitment to de-dollarize their transactions and establish a financial bubble immune to Western sanctions, notes the national interest. There is a tendency in the West to discount Russian projects that supply the country with enough funds to make it to the next month, but cannot realistically last for an extended period of time. The problem with this mindset, though, is that Russia has no intention of reverting back to its participation in the U.S.-led international system, since it is convinced that China holds the future. Just as Putin demanded that European companies pay for Russian oil and gas in rubles or gold at the beginning of the year, he has also pressed Chinese energy firms to pay for gas in ruble or yuan. Russian banks have begun issuing checking and savings accounts in Chinese yuan. Russian Finance Minister Anton Siluanov said during an interview, purchases of currencies of unfriendly countries, primarily dollars and euros, are now impossible. For us, these currencies are toxic. When asked why Russian assets in dollars and euros are still accumulating abroad if Moscow intends to dissolve all links to these currencies, Siluanov maintained that Russia is in the process of abandoning them before adding a curious line. The only options that remain for Russia are ruble, a currency that we trust, or imports that are of our interest. Moscow has made its greatest strides toward de-dollarization domestically, however, and this initiative is inextricable from its coercive natural resource diplomacy. For instance, major fuel and oil companies are planning to increase the use of yuan in their operations. Reports say in August 2022, Russians bought a record number of the Chinese currency after Beijing doubled the yuan ruble trading band in March to provide more flexibility in currency exchanges. Putin said that Russia will not give up the dollar, but will instead dramatically reduce its shares.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to a new episode of your favorite program, in which we're talking about ladies. And the greatest of all these ladies is Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, which we have been, whom we have been talking about for quite some sessions it has been, sister. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab, of course. Welcome, sister, and salam alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be with you, sister.
Of course, the pleasure is all mine. So we actually have been talking about Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha's lifestyle, and then we reached to the point where she was put in a situation to pick the right husband, and then she picked Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we already talked about her criteria. The thing that is important is that marriage starts with a decision, and then it has to continue with so much of sacrifice and then understanding and then so much of maturity. How was her relationship with her husband, how she treated him, and the things that happened in between them?
When she chooses him, she gets engaged to him for 9 months. And in these 9 months, Prophet, peace be upon him, tries to make her healthy. That's very important. That's a message for all of us. Like, he tells her that since you're going to enter a married life, you got to be healthy, because a healthy mother can get healthy children. This engagement time is something that you get to know each other, but this,
and the most important time, because it's just like a research you're
doing. Now you're going to select someone with whom you're going to spend entire life, and you don't have chances to come back from there.
Yeah, there's no coming back.
It's very, very hard. Like, though, however, I'm trying to say that this never means that your engagement time should be for years and years, so that,
yeah,
like, now you get bored.
Don't take it that long away. Moderation, yes. Again.
The most important thing is her mehriya, which was only 480 dirham. What is mehriya? It's a security money given to a woman and in Islam, and women can go and search about that. 480 was not extremely less that time. 480 is not extreme amount of money. However, Imam Ali al-Islam goes and sells out one of his shields, and then he gets 400 dirham.
That he used for the wars.
Yeah, and he gets 400 dirham out of it, which again teaches men that you have to make sure that you pay this amount to
your wife.
Not like you come, and because I have been hearing from most of the women that, my husband says, since we are not going to get separated from each other, we are not divorcing each other, there's no
divorcing.
There's no talk of mahriya. So I don't know how to pay you. No, it's a right of women. They have to pay them. And Imam Ali al-Islam goes and prepares this before his marriage. He goes and, prepares this amount, gets ready this amount, and also...
So, we're talking about her marriage. Let's put it here and go for a short break. And after that, we are going to continue the rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we're talking about marriage, the marriage of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha with her husband Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. We talked about the criteria of marriage. We talked about different stuff related to how to pick the right person. And then we came to this part when it is the ceremony. And in some cultures, it has got to do a lot with extravagance and spending so much of money. And then we talked about mehriye, which is like a burden on so many men's shoulder. And we have to take it easier.
Yes, it's not like you don't have to ask for it at all.
Yeah, just
but at the same
easy.
Time,
Because if you have picked the right person, like, then this amount is not going to count as a very important thing in your life.
It's a very, very unfortunate that many of the women out there, they take full right of mehriya and they demand so much and they take even so much. But at the same time, they don't want to abide by other rules of Islam. Mehriya is in Islam, you're taking it. But at the same time, when Islam is telling you to go for hijab and other things, now you don't want to accept it. It's very, very unfortunate that who takes some rules what they like, and forget other rules.
Well, actually, mehriya is supposed to be considered as a gift to women.
Yes.
So the right of a woman in here is to take it easy upon the man. And then the right of the man is to have it in mind that he's going to pay it to her.
Yeah. And also I'm saying that if you are taking this right, you are demanding it and you're taking this amount, also keep in mind there are other rules you have to abide the same way.
Exactly, yeah. You cannot say yes to some of the rules
and no to most
of the rules.
Yeah, do not abide by some of the rules of Islam that you like, and you don't abide by those that do not get into your mind. Since they do not get into your mind, that does not mean that you don't have to follow them.
Exactly.
You can research more, you can ponder more about the rules that are not, getting into your mind, but that never means that you got to pick up some ones and that are in your favor.
Yeah.
And, ignore all others.
To have two baskets, on my favor and the other ones who are against me.
Exactly.
Then the ones that are against me are more technically, I would leave them aside and then I would go for the ones that are for my benefit. So now, at the very first step, we understood that she started a simple life. She didn't go for too much of mehriye, and she didn't have such a very
even her ceremony,
ostensible show of wedding.
No, even her wedding, it's reported that it was so simple,
so modest. Her wedding ceremony
exactly.
was so modest.
There was, and it's also reported that there was a difference between mahrams and non-mahrams. They were separated. There
yeah.
was no, because in today's cultures, we book halls where both are together, men are together. Obviously, you don't go into a wedding function as simple as you're at home. You just try,
yeah.
put on all your stuff, whatever
exactly.
you have. Try to get into your best part.
We're talking to ladies and they know how the
exactly.
wedding goes.
I should be going there and everyone should be looking at me.
I should shine like a diamond.
You can do that, or try to separate.
This is the point.
Try to separate
yeah.
the functions. Like, even if society is not doing that, do that from yourself. Like, whatever the functions you carry out, separate men and women.
Yeah.
Because at least you have the right to be your best in the functions. I'm not against, like, not to be, do not do makeup in the functions, do not express yourself.
And
we
shouldn't forget that this is how we have been suggested to do.
Yeah, and even if you are now in a mixed culture wherein it's not possible, then try to be as modest as possible.
Yeah,
make
so
it simple and best.
Yeah. So if there is no way for separation of men and women in
yeah,
the function,
do not come up,
then,
do not make
yeah.
yourself like a person who would be picked up from the crowd.
Yeah, who would attract the attention of all the men, because then the consequences are not going to be for the benefit of each side.
Exactly. Family strength is very important.
Yeah, that's
your hijab
important.
Can weaken the family strength of some other men. It's not the right of every third person to look at you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not sometimes, it's like the person who is married, it's his wife's right that he looks at her. In our weddings, we have women like, they say to tailors, they say to designers, they say to
I want to compete the bride.
No. That's obviously.
That's the main idea.
Everyone should not look at bride, they should look at me.
Yeah.
Well, this is the most.
Wow. So horrible.
Yeah.
A vicious sort of thought. Because that is the special day for the bride. And then the others are just guests who are going to accompany her in this very beautiful day of her life.
Yeah.
So now we talked about the criteria of the person we're going to pick. And also we talked about the marriage function and how it should go.
How it should be going. Because now, if there was someone, because most of the people say, oh, I deserve a blasting, I deserve a bombastic function. If you deserve the most, the couple that deserved the most
glorious wedding,
exactly, was the couple of Imam Ali and Lady Zahra, salamu alayha. When they did it simple, when they put it simple, why can't you, why can't me?
Exactly. So try to make it as simple as you can. Then let's go for a short break and we'll be back to follow the rest.
Thank you.
So, dear ladies, we're talking about weddings and marriage functions, which is actually every girl's dream, but we shouldn't react to it in a very magnified manner. So we should take it as simple as it could be. Then we should take care of every single thing. Specifically, the fact that this is going to be only one night, a happy night, that is supposed to be a modest day, not an ostensible show of whatever you have. Then keep it simple, and then notice that after this day, it's not going to be the end of your life. You know, you're going to have so much to do in future.
I would like to extend your point that you said, because most of the people come up with the excuse that, oh, come on, it's just one day. Oh, come on, it's just one night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm a really good
person. We hear that a lot.
We hear that a lot. But just see, do you hear someone, the one who kills someone with a gun? Do you hear him?
I'm going to kill for only one day.
No. Do you hear him saying that I just clicked the trigger just for 3 seconds? Oh, come on. It was just 3 seconds.
So you actually should look outside the box. Do not be so small of a creature to think of it as just one day. And then this one day is going to give you the justification for all the wrong things that you do. That is going actually to affect your life, your future life. Because imagine a marriage, which is a contract between two persons, starting with too much of vicious, wrong behaviors, then what is going to be the result and outcome of this marriage?
Everything has consequences.
Everything has consequences. Exactly.
So it can be good, it could be bad. So it all depends on you, how you keep it. I'm saying the couple that deserved the most best marriage was this couple. And then when they put it simple, how can I say that, oh, I deserve one of the best marriages. I want a big function. I want everyone to be here. All right. If you have enough of money, you can make others get married. There's so many people dying to get married, but they don't have enough money. And you would again see the consequences. Well, we're talking about consequences. If you want to see the better consequences, if you have enough of money to do much big kind of function, big show, keep yours simple, and with the rest of the money, go and make some poor girl get married.
And this is what we have it in our religion.
Exactly.
If the rich people try to share with the poor people, then the society is not going to suffer from this large gap between the poor and the rich.
And Quran also says, when we give you the blessing, Surah Fajr, verse 15, that when we give you a blessing, you kind of have this misunderstanding that, oh, Allah has done a favor on me and He loves me. It's ibtila. It's a test.
Yeah, it's a test.
Then he says in verse 16, then there are people whom I have tested by taking from them. I'm testing some by giving them, and I'm testing some by taking from them.
Yeah.
Because some of you, when I take from them, you say, oh, I'm the worst person on the earth. But both of you are in ibtila, in a state of test. So when you are in a state of test, maybe having enough money, your test is how you will get a poor person married. This is a test, and you can pass in this test in this beautiful way.
Yeah, that's very true. So let this be the gist of today's episode. We talked about the criteria of the person we're going to marry, and then we talked about the mehriyeh, and then we talked about the wedding function. Yes, and how it doesn't have to be so extravagant, and you don't have to spend so much of money on a night that is only a night, and it's not going to be the end of the world. Just take it easy. And thank you for listening to us. Until another session, may Allah protect you with His never-sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
MKO Terrace Part 2.
Mind-altering practices. Unquestioning commitment to the group. Cult of personality. Preoccupation with bringing in new members. Shifting alliances in exchange for power. These are the guidelines of a cult. What if we told you that this dangerous cult has its base in Paris, France?
By some luck, or maybe some unluck performance, we found that there was an organization in France, and this organization used to have some people, some member that decided to burn themselves. So we tried to know why they decided to burn themselves in the middle of the street in Paris in a day of July in 2003.
Not far from where this family lives, we meet two ex-members of MEK. They are the ones who can best describe why this is not an organization but a cult, since they escaped from it with great difficulty. They got married a month ago and are now trying to catch up with the time they lost. They have spent the most precious years of their lives away from their country, a country that they have rediscovered. In France, Anvers and Françoise are ready to carry out a new action. They are going back to Auvers-sur-Oise to speak with the new mayor of the town. This time they bring no banners or slogans. They are visiting to make sure the new mayor knows about the presence of a dangerous organization in town. Anvers and Françoise have been recognized. Is she reporting some MEK enemies in town? Strange reaction. An organization fighting against cults so surprising? Or maybe she knows who Anvers is talking about? Confirmed. She knows who Anvers is talking about and also who he is. She doesn't authorize demonstrations in town, in France? Where is freedom of expression? What is she hiding? How can a so-called peaceful organization act so strangely? Our team wanted to know why. If Western authorities know about the terrorist past of this organization, why do many politicians agree to attend their rally in Villepinte every June, where thousands of people gather to support Mariam Rajavi and the MEK organization? So we came to the meeting this year. And to our surprise, we found hundreds of buses with thousands of people from all over Europe and the Middle East. Afghans, Syrians, Poles, Ukrainians, Czechs, Germans. However, the Iranians attending the meeting were the minority.
You came all over here just for this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for that conversation here.
But they invited you?
Yes, of course.
Nice, it's good.
Yeah, like everybody here, yeah.
Okay. So have you been inside?
Of course.
And? You don't understand?
No, nothing.
Okay. Okay.
Too much speaking, and I want to sleep. And we come outside, drink, eat, relax.
But you have to spend the whole day here.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, but tomorrow no.
Tomorrow we go to Paris. Yes. make photos and stuff like that.
When did you arrive?
Today morning, at 11.
And you leave?
Tomorrow.
By bus?
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you come from?
From Prague.
And you came all over here just for the meeting?
Yes, and to Paris too.
But they paid for the whole trip, right?
No, we have to pay something but a small amount of money.
Okay. And were you inside the meeting?
Yes, like for 3 hours.
And what do you think or what did you understand?
I think it's a strategy to bring us here because it's Paris and they made it very cheap so they can have their rally, but we are not allowed to go out to the buses or to the hotel because otherwise they won't give us the key to enter to the hotel. So it's the only way to keep us here, and not even here, we are in the grass sitting because they are just trying to support this woman that is outside of Iran and won't change anything because she doesn't have enough support. So we are the only ones here, but we are forced to stay.
How do you feel after having seen what's inside?
I feel really disappointed because I came here because there was some organization who proposed this trip to Paris in order to know about this conference, which was, I was told it was about human rights of these Iranian people. And so I came kind of excited about this because I studied journalism, for me it's kind of interesting. But when I came here, the first that I saw was the bad organization, which meant something to me, like something really strange, because if you come to some event like this, they're supposed to be more organized and take care about this kind of stuff. So we were waiting like 2 hours outside, waiting to go inside. Then once we were inside, it seems to be like we were in some kind of, I don't know, performance or something like this, because
political rally.
Exactly, like political rally. And they didn't talk about the topics that I was told, but she was they were talking about more like to support these ideas they have, I don't know. And it seemed to be like they didn't care about people around because people were doing like whatever but not putting attention. So I think I feel like lied.
How many people are here today? 100,000? 110,000? How often have you come here?
So the real question is not how many people are here today, but how many Iranians are here, and also how many people have not been brought here with a trip to Paris as bait to attend this meeting. Let us explain how the people are distributed inside the building where this rally is taking place. All the tourists occupy 90% of the space. In each seat, they can find T-shirts, flags, and all sorts of gadgets to look like good supporters in front of the cameras. But closer to the stage, we have a VIP zone where all the Iranians are meant to be sitting. One would think that at such a huge meeting, this zone would be packed. But here is a still taken from the MEK's official video where we can see a lot of empty seats. And not only that, you have to have a bracelet to get in. We obviously had not been invited as VIPs, but we found a young lady from the MEK organization distributing those bracelets for the VIP zone in a kind of hidden place. So there we go, inside the VIP zone, to find some Iranians, the only supporters they got, MEK members, and plenty of empty seats.
A country and an Ayatollah who dedicates himself to the destruction of one of our strongest allies, the State of Israel, who almost every week says, destruction to the State of Israel. We unequivocally support a non-nuclear Iran. Now, what does a non-nuclear Iran mean? It doesn't mean 2 months away from being able to have a nuclear missile. It doesn't mean 1 year away from having a nuclear missile. It doesn't mean an Iran that will become a nuclear power in 10 years.
The first time the organization had revealed some facts about Iran's nuclear activities, this information was given to the organization by the Israeli intelligence. And since they didn't want to reveal it themselves, they wanted some Iranians to do that. They went to the monarchists and Reza Pahlavi to do it. They didn't accept. They said they would not do against the interest of their country. But the MKO accepted to do that. And this was the start of Iranian nuclear crisis. And after that, MKO had no role in it. But they wanted to keep their role because they claimed that they got this information from their sources inside Iran. So each time they used to fabricate some lies, give it out as Iranians' nuclear activities, which was not true. And many times it was proven that it was not true. They wanted to be part of this West's manufacture of crisis against Iran.
While MEK's political rally is taking place in Villepinte, former MEK members are demonstrating against the MEK and the Rajavis in the very center of Paris.
Rajavi, terrorists! Terrorists, Rajavi!
Rajavi, terrorists, terrorists, Rajavi! Rajavi, Daesh, Daesh, Rajavi!
Rajavi, Daesh, Daesh, Rajavi!
Rajavi is a murderer! Down with Rajavi!
I'm afraid of something can happen to me or to my family. And it's true that when you have someone that is ready to threat you in front of police, in front of security guard, in front of any kind of security of authority, official authority, I'm a little bit afraid. Yes, I'm a little bit afraid. It's true that they succeeded in a kind of way. They succeeded to stop us by their threat, by their violence, because if I can ask you something, what do you do in front of someone ready to burn himself? They are very dangerous. I think we can continue our action, and we will continue our action, because freedom has to win. But for now, we decided to continue in another way, by communication. Communication is the key.
Many secrets remain in Auvers-sur-Oise that our team has not been able to unearth. But one thing we know is that in the very heart of Europe, a group of young French activists have been threatened by a so-called peaceful organization. They are afraid of carrying on with their plan of combating cults. In Auvers-sur-Oise, there are still many residents unaware of the origins of the terrorist group living in their town right beside them.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on a sad occasion. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him. We express our condolences to all Shia Muslims all around the world.
غریبه ما کی میگه آقا غریبه این همه سینه زن شب شهادت با ویلا غریبه ما امام زمان
The 10th Holy Imam, Imam Ali al-Hadi, the son of Imam Muhammad al-Jawad and Sayyid al-Samana. He was martyred of poisoning and was buried in Samarra in Iraq by his son Imam Hassan al-Askari, where his shrine stands today. He remarkably excelled all others of his time in the fields of human perfections as knowledge, generosity, politeness, worshipping of Allah with moral qualities and discipline. As one example of his generosity is that he paid 30,000 dirhams to an Arab man of Kufa, saying to him, "We pay back our debts." The man then thanking the Imam alayhi salam said, "Sir, but the debts on me is only about one third of the amount you gave." The Imam alayhi salam smiled at the man and replied, "Then spend the rest on your family and your people." The man, in astonishment of the Imam's generosity, said, "Allah in his wisdom knows who to trust with his message of divine guidance." Then he left the Holy Imam's presence. We offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him. Allahumma salli ala
Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he himself says in Ziyarat al-Jama'a, because Ziyarat al-Jama'a is narrated by the Imam. He says, "In dukira al-khayr kuntum awwalahu wa aslahu wa far'ahu wa ma'dinahu wa ma'wahu wa muntahah." Everything about you and your existence is good and benevolent. You are benevolence. Look at how they treat their enemies. Al-Mutawakkil himself, he became sick, ill with wounds and scars around his body that would turn black. They were so excruciating that he would scream at the apothecaries and at the chemists that came to treat him before they even touched him. In one story, his mother, in another story, he himself vows to give the Imam 1,000 dinars if he is cured. They send the money with one of their aids. He goes to the Imam. The Imam instructs them on how to treat it, and he is cured. This is how they treat their enemies. In a story, a man by the name of Yunus ibn Ya'qub, a Baghdadi Christian, he is called to the king's court. Obviously, he is filled with fear. Why? Because the king is al-Mutawakkil. Al-Mutawakkil, Amir al-Mu'mineen, says about him, "Akfaruhum," the most kafir of them all, of the Abbasids. He's a notorious killer. He would kill people like the queen from Alice in Wonderland. He is the one that tried to destroy the shrine of Imam al-Hussein numerous times. He flooded the grave of Imam al-Hussein. This is what sort of person we're dealing with. So, naturally, the Christian man thinks to himself, "I have only one way out of this. He doesn't overthink it. He directly goes to his Shia neighbor. And he says, "This Imam of yours, Ali ibn al-Hadi, can I give nadr to him?" The man says, "Of course." So he vows to give the Imam 100 dinars if he gets out safe. But he was very smart. He was a businessman, this guy. He thought to himself, "You know what? In order for me to secure this, I will fulfill the vow before I go to see Al-Mutawakkil." So he takes his own personal horse and he goes out to Surra Man Ra'a, the old name for Samarra. He goes and he can't find the Imam's house, because the Imam, with all of his abilities, with all his miracles, doesn't live like a king. The Imam lives, كان فيهم كأحدهم. He would live like other people, like normal people. So he can't find the Imam's house. What does he do? He dismounts his horse. He gets off of his horse and let it loose. The horse then walks and then stops at a door. Someone opens that door and he thinks to himself, well, this has got to be the sign. Someone opens that door and says, Yunus ibn Ya'qub, welcome. You've come to the right place. Your nadr, your vow has been accepted. So he came to the imam, to the man, excuse me, and he gave him the 100 dinars. Then he went to see the imam himself. He sits with the imam. The imam says, people think that we are only good for and only help out our followers, when in fact we help anyone that seeks our help.
Imam al-Hadi became a heavy burden on al-Mu'tamid, the Abbasid caliph, after he saw people talk about the virtues, knowledge, asceticism and piety of the imam and prefer him to all other Muslim ulama. He became angry, envious and spiteful against the imam. His ill will led him to commit the worst crime in Islam. He inserted fatal poison to imam, who after having the poison kept to bed. The poison reached in all his body and he suffered intolerable pains. The Shia and the notable of the state visited him and they all were covered with deep sorrow. The poison reacted inside the body of the Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him. Violent pains attacked him and death approached him quickly. When he felt the inevitable death, he turned towards the Qibla and began reciting some surahs of the Quran. He breathed his last while the mention of Allah was still on his lips. Condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
Imam Hadi sings in this part. Do not expect honesty and purity of intention from someone who has suffered from your malice. Do not expect loyalty from one to whom you have been disloyal. Do not expect goodwill from someone whom you regard with ill will. His heart towards you is the same as your heart towards him. Others will fear him who fears Allah. He who obeys Allah will be obeyed. He who obeys Allah will not care for. Allah will not care for the dissatisfaction of the creatures. He who enrages the Creator should be sure of encountering the dissatisfaction of the creatures. You should present through obedience to those who present for you their thorough love and advice. Do not feel secure from those who disgrace their personalities. He who feels secure from Allah's unexpected retribution and painful penalty will feel arrogant until Allah's act, an inevitable decree. Death will befall him. He who ever receives evidence from his Lord will belittle the worldly misfortunes, even if he is cut into pieces. And the last but not the least quote, there are definite places in which Allah likes the servants to supplicate to him. One of these places is the tomb of Al-Husayn, peace be upon him, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Master of the Martyrs.
One day, he calls the imam. The Imam lived in Medina for 20 years. Then he was summoned by Al-Mutawakkil to Samarra. He lived there for 22 years until he was martyred. He is summoned by Al-Mutawakkil. He goes inside and Al-Mutawakkil, as usual, is drunk. Then Al-Mutawakkil does something so disrespectful. Honestly, if someone was to cry blood over this tragedy, it wouldn't be fair. He offers wine to the Imam. Then the Imam says, Wallah ma dhaqaha lahmi wala badani wala azmi qat. By God, my bones and my meat have never tasted this. Then he says to the Imam, read me a poem. The Imam says, I'm not a poet. Then he threatens the Imam. He says, you must. So the Imam began reading this poem. باتوا على قلل الأجبال تحرسهم غلب الرجال فما أغنتهم القلل. They went, they sought refuge in the mountaintops, being guarded by the most courageous men, but it didn't do them any good. واستنزلوا بعد عز من معاقلهم وأودعوا حفرا يا بئس ما نزلوا. They are then lowered into pits. How dreadful were these pits. ناداهم صارخ من بعد ما قبروا أين الأسرة والتيجان والحلل. Someone screamed out after they were put into their graves, where are your jewelries and your crowns and your scepters? Where are your thrones? أين الوجوه التي كانت منعمة. Where were the faces that were lathered with oil? This was customary back then. The kings would be lathered by their concubines with oil. ومن دونها تضرب الأستار والكلل. The faces that were covered with curtains. فأفصح القبر عنهم حين سألهم. تلك الوجوه عليها الدود يقتتلوا. Then the grave opened up and he said, these faces are being eaten by worms. قد طالما أكلوا دهرا وما شربوا فأصبحوا بعد طول الأكل قد أكلوا. These were people that were eating and munching on meals after meals. Now they have become meals for worms. They say that Al-Mutawakkil was intoxicated. He was drunk. Suddenly he came out of his intoxication and started crying and crying. Then saying to the Imam that you ruined my party.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special that was about the character and sayings of Imam al-Hadi, peace be upon him. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of the Imam al-Hadi, so we express our condolences to all Shia Muslims all around the world. Till another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
يا أبا الحسن يا علي ابن محمد أيها الهادي النبي يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.